Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
All right, well, I guess we'll see what happens when the music starts.
Oh boy! Wow!
I don't even know who's in charge today, but that was pretty damn funny.
It's only 29 minutes past the hour. What happened?
I know, right? Jesus! Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Brisdo. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, even if it is a minute early. Making today make sense is what we do.
Ooh. I am Mariel Segarra. Thanks for joining us. It's Monday, also known as What Did We Miss Monday, where we talk about one big news fix of the day, along with other stories that you or we might have missed over the weekend.
So just because, and I don't know how much of that pre-show chatter you're going to hear when Bridget finally makes the edit to the rough of this pod, we were talking, Mariel and I were, about what is actually the big news item of the day. And she said, I don't know, maybe these. And I said, I don't know, those sound good. And I'm just going to read you what's in the rundown. It says, and here's the deal. I wrote, I don't know, kind of a meh big news day. And then Mariel said, well, maybe this, in which she talked about the New York City mandates for private businesses, which is indeed a big deal. And then she said, maybe this, another story. So we're going to go with the New York City mandates, because one of us is in New York City and it's a big deal. So go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a New York City theme here to this show. But
that's right.
So there, New York City, the mayor, Bill de Blasio, who's still the mayor, I think, for another month,
just put, so, right?
Yes. And then Eric Adams takes office. But the mayor just put into effect a mandate that all private employers, or probably private employers of a certain size, I don't know what the exact limits are, have to require their employees to be vaccinated. And a lot of the really big companies that operate here already have a requirement like that, like the big multinational corporations that have offices here. But some, like I think it's JP Morgan Chase, also allows its employees to get tested twice a week instead. Mm-hmm. So now it'll have to require vaccines for people who come in. And I wonder if that'll be like, okay, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you're just working from home forever. Or are they actually going to fire people?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I don't know. I don't know. It's a really good question. And then the whole working from home forever thing just has all kinds of ramifications. Did an interview today on the show about the mommy track and hybrid work and how it's bad for women, because women are the ones who almost always wind up doing the hybrid thing, even though the men go to work. It's just, it's all kinds of just hybrid is not great. And who knows what the future of work is in this economy. And that was a little sideways, but that's all sort of related to get a shot, get a shot, get a vaccine, get your booster, get a shot. Boom.
Yeah,
boom.
It's time. Just got my booster, actually.
Did you? How'd you do the day after?
It was fine. The second shot, I was out for 36 hours, like high fever, chills, et cetera. Yeah. So I was scared this time, but it was just a sore arm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I lost a day of my life. It was crazy.
Yeah, the third with the booster?
With the booster and with the second shot. Yeah. First shot, nothing. Second and third shots, ouch. So, you know.
Yeah. I, like, appealed to my mom's guilt and told her, like, I'm really worried I'm going to get sick. Like, will you come into Brooklyn and hang out with me and, like, just in case? But we ended up having a really nice day because I didn't get sick at all. And instead of, like, her buying me wonton soup and stuff, like, and doing my laundry, we just, you know, hung out.
There you go.
I have a good mom.
There you go. You do have a good mom. You do have a good mom. Maybe I should call her next time I need some help. All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we will go into some other news that we might have missed over the weekend, and then we'll do some listener-supplied Make Me Smiles. I was caught up by two things this morning, not necessarily over the weekend, but they came out this morning. The first of which was in a newsletter from Kelly Evans at CNBC, which was just totally fascinating. She quoted a guy who we have on Marketplace every now and then. His name is Iswar Prasad. He does international economics at Cornell, and he did a book not too long ago about digital currencies. And he says Prasad does, and we talked a little bit about DeFi on the pod, me and Molly have, and about Ethereum and crypto and all that stuff. He says Bitcoin is just going to fade because it's not nimble enough, it's too clunky, it's too volatile, and you can't do enough with it, whereas, you know, if you listened to us last Tuesday, Ether and Ethereum are much more nimble. So I thought it's interesting that this guy who has written a book on digital currencies is talking about Bitcoin maybe going away. So that's item number one. Item number two is that over the weekend, oh, by the way, Bitcoin, which was at like $65,000 per Bitcoin, not more than 10 days, 2 weeks ago, was at like, well, maybe a month ago, was at $46,000. So it was down, you know, 20 grand in the space of like 3 days. So once again, if you're a Bitcoin enthusiast, let me just ask you, would you take your paycheck in Bitcoin? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. That was a pair of my items. I don't know. Would you take your paycheck in Bitcoin? I would not.
I would not. I think we talked about this last time, that the New York City mayor is doing that, at least paycheck.
Yes.
Which is kind of wild.
But
something you were talking about there with the first story, it reminds me of, like, often I feel like the first adopter of a technology or the first company out there doing it ends up fading away. Like, I'm thinking about, and I don't know if it was exactly the first, but I'm thinking of like Ask Jeeves, right? Like, wasn't that around before Google? It popularizes the technology or and then it gets bested.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a common story.
Totally. I mean, think about Yahoo. Whatever happened to Yahoo, right? Yahoo was early, right? Like 90, 91, 92. And where are they now? They're, God, what's the name of them? Oath, right? Isn't that the name of the company that became, right?
I forgot about that entirely.
There you go. All right, a couple more quickies from me. Really interesting story in the New York Times about New York City unearthing, that is, bringing back to the surface a brook, a little stream that it buried a century ago. And why is it doing it? Because Tibbetts Brook in the Bronx is contributing on the order of like billions and billions of gallons of water, is contributing to the overload of the New York City sewer system when there are heavy rains, most recently at the remnants of Hurricane Ida. And it's cray-cray that all these decisions made 100 years ago are now coming back to bite New York City in the tuchus, and they're trying to take care of it and do it better. So I thought that was really interesting, just as a civil engineering project, as a climate change project, and as just an urban thing story. And the last thing, and then I'll shut up. I'm not a huge Formula One racing fan, but the Saudi Grand Prix yesterday in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia was nuts, not least of which is because it wound up with the number one and number two guys tied going into the last race. And you can think Formula One is crazy and it's plaything for the rich and it's a stupid use of environmental resources and all this stuff, but it was a good race and it was interesting to watch, and now it set up a really good final race of the season, and that's it. That's what I got.
Yeah, it must have been exciting to watch.
I feel like
I'm not a big sports fan, but I do a lot of tuning in to the final few minutes of like championship games or races, like for that exciting moment. I don't think it's quite as good as if you've had the buildup and you know the sport and you've like been waiting for them to win for however long, but it's still pretty fun even to watch those few minutes. Yeah.
Totally agree. Cool. What do you got?
So there's a story I read in the 19th this weekend, which is a nonprofit newsroom. It reports on gender and policy about federal assistance for people with disabilities. And it's interesting. Like they talk about how often people with disabilities have access to Medicaid. Medicaid will pay for them to have a personal care assistant come to their house and help them with daily activities. But that doesn't cover any tasks having to do with parenting. Like the personal care assistants are prohibited from doing anything like that. So if they're throwing in your clothes into the washing machine, they can't throw in your kid's clothes too. If they make you a sandwich, they can't make your kid a sandwich.
Oh, wow.
But it stands to reason, right? If someone needs help with these particular activities, they would also need help with doing those things for their child. And so this is a a pretty big problem for some people. And there's even an anecdote in there about like someone who, with the parent who gets one sandwich made, the personal care assistant leaves, and then the parent gives the sandwich to their kid. You know, they're skipping lunch just so that their kid has something. And it is not something that there's any movement on the federal level to change, but some states are trying to change it. And there is was a pilot program that they talked about in Minnesota that is trying to address this. It just made me think of the many cracks in our system and, you know, and it particularly the way that that affects families. Like I'm doing, I'm working on something for This Is Uncomfortable, Rima's show about paid family leave and the fact that, you know, on the federal level, there is no requirement that companies offer paid family leave if you, for instance, have a child. So it's unpaid. And that's just not enough for a lot of people. Like, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
There are just so many flaws in the way that we support families and people in this country. So
it's funny. We call it a social safety net, but it's not.
You know? It's not really a net. There are many, many holes in it.
Yeah.
And so the other story I brought is a little lighter, but still serious. Okay. There is a shortage of cream cheese that is ravaging New York City. Cream cheese, there are shortages of everything right now for lots of different reasons. The cream cheese problem has to do with a labor shortage, the fact that there aren't enough truck drivers, and not enough packaging for the cream cheese. And so this is affecting, as you might imagine in New York, bagel shops everywhere because, I'm going to be honest, I'm a butter gal myself, but there are, minority.
No. What is that butter on a bit? No.
I can't. Cream cheese.
Are you even from New York?
Grosses me out. I'm from here.
Not really. Clearly you're not. You probably eat pizza with a knife and a fork too.
No. I fold it and walk with it. But yes, sesame bagel with butter. Okay. But there are a lot of people who rely on, you've probably seen in the bagel places in New York, they have like every kind of cream cheese you could imagine, salmon cream cheese and chocolate chip cream cheese. And I don't know, they're even more pumpkin cream cheese. I know you'd hate that. But they have everything. And now they're like actually having to tell people they don't have it in stock or they're running out. And that's also a problem, not just for bagel places, but they use cream cheese to make cheesecake, right? So bakeries, the holidays are coming up. That is potentially going to be a big issue.
It's going to be a huge issue. Issue.
It's just like the supply chain stuff. What did you say?
I can't believe you do butter on your bagels. I don't even know what that's about.
You know what else I do on a bagel since I was a kid? What? Sesame bagel with tuna salad. Yeah. And a Yoo-hoo.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's pretty
tuna
good.
Tuna salad on a sesame bagel. I'm good with that. Yeah, I don't know about the Yoo-hoo, but you know, this is a food thing. All right, let us move to the Make Me Smiles, and then a super quick note on the way out, and then we'll get out of here. How about that? Oh my goodness! All right, all y'all know that Mondays are listener-generated Make Me Smile ideas, just because sometimes you guys have better ones than we do. Today's comes from Leah in Massachusetts, sent us a local news story from the Boston Globe, in which it turns out that if you let school kids pick the names of your snowplows, as the Vermont Transportation Agency did, they kill it. Here you go. Some kid-generated snowplow names from the state of Vermont. Baby Snowda, Snow Day Crusher. William Shakespeare. I blew it. William Shakespeare. Plowy McPlowface. For those of you who get the reference, we will have them all on our show page. There's a whole bunch of them. No snow, by the way, in the Vermont forecast this week. Maybe next. I don't know. We'll see.
You forgot the best one.
Which one? What?
Jennifer Snopez. That's pretty good. I like it.
Fair enough.
I don't get Plowy McPlowface, but I'll have to look that one up.
Oh, yeah. It's about that boat from like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, totally. Bodie McBoatface. Did you ever hear that?
Maybe. I don't know what it means, though.
Bodie McBoatface. Now it's just stupid. You know, if you ask Twitter to name something, they will come up with the most inane name, and it was Bodie McBoatface for like some icebreaker or something.
That's pretty silly.
Anyway, That'll be on the show page too. All right, super quick before we go, we are doing a new Investors Week. Those of you who have given already, thank you. Those of you who haven't, the Investors Challenge Fund, which we have talked about before on this pod, is doing a dollar for dollar match for all new and rejoining investors. We had a bunch of new investors at the beginning of the pandemic. Numbers have been slipping a little bit. So if you could, if you feel like it, if you've got the money to spare, and if you value what we do here at this podcast, on the other podcasts, and on the radio shows that we do, make me smart. No. Marketplace.org/givesmart. Or Marissa's going to put the link in the show notes. And you can hook us up. And yes. Again, we appreciate it because otherwise we could not do what we do. Full stop. Full.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Okay. I'm back tomorrow with Kimberly for a deep dive on the economics of mental health, which are not favorable, shall we say, direct and indirect costs and what some states are doing about it. So that's going to be on the Tuesday show tomorrow.
And we want to hear from you about what's made you smile this year. So let us know. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us and leave us a voice message. Our number is 508-827-6278 or 508-UB-SMART. Who came up with that number? That was so cute.
I believe smart. It was one Bridget Bonner. I believe she worked the system to get that. Make Me Smart
Good
is
job,
produced
Bridget.
By Marissa Cabrera with help from Mark A. Green. Today's program was engineered by Brian Allison. Tony Wagner writes our newsletters.
Our senior producer is Bridget UB Smart Bodner, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Boom.
Hope you like your new nickname, Bridget.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.